Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
To be truly alive in the Spirit, I really sense we need to share the gospel of Jesus. You look at someone who's just had their first love of Jesus. You can't stop them. There's joy. There's abundant joy that overflows. You can't stop them. And that's what I want for all of us this day and every day. So let's get into the Word. I'll stop now. Let's get into the Word. So our reading is from Acts 8. Let us pass of verse 1 to verse 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. There was great joy as the good news of Jesus was proclaimed. My goodness, this is God's word for us today. So we can divide our reading under three headings of persecution, dispersion, and proclamation as we take a closer look at the passage. Firstly, the persecution. Persecution of Christians intensifies throughout the book of Acts. As we have studied in the last year, and even through this year. In chapter 4, the people were praising God for the miracle which had taken place. There's no opposition by the people, but the religious leaders oppose them. So persecution begins as a simple warning. Do not speak about Jesus. Do not speak about him. Do not share. But then the disciples are flogged in chapter 5 because they continue to preach the gospel. Once again, it's only by the religious leaders, but there's a significant shift in the intensity of persecution as Saul seeks to destroy the church, as Stephen is stoned, he's martyred. So what changed? Well, this time, it wasn't the religious leaders, but they actually had the backing of the people. For the opposition to Stephen was raised by the people and not the religious leaders. And we will come back to the reason why a little bit later in the next point. But as persecution breaks out, we are informed that the disciples, they disperse. And Philip flees to Samaria, which leads us to the second point. As the opposition escalates, it goes from just annoyance and frustration by the religious leaders to brutal attack. We know that there was respect for the apostles by the people, and the religious leaders feared the people and very mindful that they did not bring any harsh punishment against the apostles. However, Stephen is a different story. He's a Hellenistic Jew. He's a Greek-speaking Jew. And the Hebraic Jews in that time absolutely despised the Hebraic Jews. They viewed them as second-class citizens. They looked down on Christians of different ethnicity, like the Samaritans and others from surrounding neighborhood. And as Stephen brought truth before the people and the Sanhedrin, it was like, how dare you? You Hellenists speak to us. You try to teach us, and the people oppose. It was the people who took Stephen to the Sanhedrin. And it's not a stretch to say that the initial attack on the church was predominantly against the Hellenistic Christians. We know that both Stephen and Philip, they were the two of the seven chosen to serve the Hellenistic woman who were overlooked in the giving of the daily bread. So one is killed and the other is scattered like a seed to the neighboring town. But this fulfills the second part of what Jesus promised in Acts 8, that they will be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Can I just come back to Stephen and Philip? The seven that was chosen, seven that was chosen were all Greek men. There was such wisdom in the apostles as they sought God's will in this. Seven Greek men to serve the Greek ladies, and everybody was happy. We need wisdom in the church. We need wisdom in the church. All right, so the persecution leads to dispersion and finally proclamation of the good news of Jesus. The word, the Greek word that is used as disperse, is like a farmer sowing seed. So even though persecution scatters the people, the disciples, God is saying, actually, I am sowing my people across the country, across the nations. And Luke, the author of Acts, specifically focuses on Philip, who goes to Samaria. And there we're told that the good news of Jesus is preached, and the spiritually and the physically oppressed are set free from captivity. Amen. In and through the preaching of the word and the power of the Spirit, they are set free. And the result, what was the result? There was great joy. There was great joy in the city. And I'll tell you what, as the gospel of Jesus is preached in this city, through the power of the word and Spirit, there will be great joy in the city of Perth. There will be great joy. And you know what? God's inviting us to it. He's inviting us to it. So what can we learn from this? What can we take away? How can we be encouraged to share the good news of Jesus wherever God has placed us, even as we face opposition and persecution? Let me remind us all that those who are in and of Christ will be persecuted. You will face opposition, right? We'll be in la-la land if we think we can evade persecution or opposition. Jesus said in John 15, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not, because you are not of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus' word, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And in Matthew 5, Jesus again says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. On whose account? On Jesus' account. If I go out into the world and preach me, and I cop a bit of opposition and persecution, that's on me. That's me. But if we go out preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and Jesus says we will be persecuted, we will face opposition. He says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says, rejoice in the persecution. Jesus clearly informs us that there will be persecution, opposition for those who seek to take the good news of Jesus to the world. Right? So let's prepare ourselves. Let's be encouraged how we can not overcome, but find joy. find joy in the midst of all of this? So firstly, let's be encouraged as we know that no opposition will last against Jesus. Many of you know that these words by Joseph to his brothers from the book of Genesis, "You intended to harm me, but God intended for good, to accomplish what is being done." And what was being done? Saving of lives. What are we doing when we're taking out the gospel? We're not inviting them to a show. We're inviting them to a life, hope, meaning, purpose, a relationship with our living Lord. We are saving lives from eternal damnation to eternal hope. Why would we not do that? Why would we not do that? Even what seems evil, the greatest opposition, God can and will take it and turn it for good. We've already seen today that from our passage that God turned the persecution to dispersion into mission opportunity, the spreading of the good news. Here's a question that I would like to ask you. And I'm asking this question of myself as well. Do I support and promote the work of the spreading of the gospel? Or are we, or am I, like the disciples before the persecution intensified? And I'm not saying they were comfortable in the sense that we are. But God, Jesus said to them, into the neighboring suburbs, but they didn't. Not all of us are called to be missionaries like the blacks, street evangelists like the street chaplains. But we're all called to share the good news of Jesus as we come alongside one another, seeking to be where God is at work. So where is God calling you? He's calling every single one of us. Calling every single one of us. Even our young children here in the auditorium, to our seniors, God is calling you. So I pray that today, even throughout the week, just be in His presence and ask, God, where do you want me to be? Where's my Samaria? Where's my Judea? It could be MPK. It could be doing the rosters, the parking. But also it could be outside and beyond these walls. I want to encourage you. Let's see where God is at work, in and outside of these walls, and jump on board. Join them. Now, I wouldn't be able to come here today if I didn't have that support at Honeywood. There are people who are leading worship. Actually, we kicked Dan down there today to preach. So Dan's preaching down there, but I have preaching support. I have greeters, welcomers. They all just lifted their hands and say, I want to do this. And the young adults, oh my goodness, they're emceeing, they're being up front and they're encouraging people. They're rallying people. They're rallying me to be more and more active. I said, let's slow down. God's saying, no, we're going ahead. How can we come together to serve Jesus in promoting His gospel? And think about that. Secondly, let's be encouraged that no movement will prevail against the gospel. No movement will prevail. Gamaliel in Acts 5 said, "For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow." You won't be able to overthrow them, but you might even be fighting against who? Against God Himself. The opposition that we may feel, that we may face, is not actually opposition to us. Let's not take it personally, people. It's actually against God, yes. Right? We're just an instrument in His hands. So, no movement will prevail unless it is from God. And any movement against God, the good news of Jesus will not last, for they will be fighting against God. Everything on this side of eternity is temporal. But let's seek wisdom and be wise in our word and deed to use the movements of this world, the currents of this world, to advancement of the gospel as Philip did. Let's seek those opportunities. So let me explain using this illustration from the sporting world. I haven't done judo, right? You can tell I'm not a judo person. But something that I learned about judo, and it intrigues me to this day, is that, you know, in judo, people will push and pull, right? They'll grab their... And I'm not saying try this at home either, right? Please don't try this. Kids, don't try this at home. They grab and they grapple and they push in. And they're going, why are they doing the tango in the middle of the mat? Let's get on with it, right? But what they're doing is they're jostling to gain some advantage and seek an opportune moment to take down the opponent by executing a tactical move. However, in judo, it is imperative that you also learn to counterattack. As the opponent makes their move, to take you down, you use your opponent's movements, their momentum, their strength, and turn it to your advantage. Exactly what we have seen and read today. As persecution caused the dispersion, the disciples were open to serve where God had placed them. They didn't complain. Oh, I wish I was at Jerusalem. Oh, why did the persecution come? They preached the gospel where they were at. They were using the movement, the strength, the momentum that was created for the good of the kingdom. We need wisdom in that. Right? We need wisdom in that. The disciples followed the movement, momentum, and the power of God and took every opportunity, every advantage of every opportunity. So here's a second question for us to consider. Am I open to serve where God is at work? Are you open? Are you willing? God uses a person like me. Now, it's not about me, it's all about God. And yes, we will make mistakes, but God can turn those mistakes for good. Now, I was waiting, as we were singing that song, I was waiting. Lord, when's my time to come up? I was waiting. And we keep singing, waiting on you, Lord. We're waiting. Because at Honeywood one time, I got up too soon and I cut the worship team off. Not just a bridge or a verse or a chorus, I cut off a whole song. And they're looking at me and going, what are you doing? And I'm going, I'm preaching. I'm supposed to be up here. But God even blessed that. God even blessed that. Once we sang, this is going to be recorded, oh my goodness. Once we sang a song and the We love you at Honeywood. We absolutely do. I love you all. Sorry, I didn't get prior permission to share this story. We were out of key. So the whole song, all of us were out of key. And you know what? It sounded absolutely awful. It did. I was cringing at the front and we were struggling through the whole song. But after the service, everyone that came up, word of encouragement, that was the most beautiful song. And I'm going, are you for real?
Yes.
Did you hear what I heard or was it just me? God will take our weaknesses and He will use it in His strength for the kingdom. Please, where is God calling you to serve? And do you have a willing spirit? Because we want the gospel to spread. It's not about, oh, I haven't been equipped with it. I'm learning as I am going along at Honeywood. I'm making so many mistakes. By the grace of God, we are being blessed every day. My goodness. And lastly, let's be encouraged knowing that no strongholds will stand against God. There's no stronghold in this world, in Perth, even in our own lives, that will stand against the gospel. There is no greater way than to allow the scripture to bring truth into this. And on this side of eternity, that no strongholds, that nothing will be able to stand against Jesus and what he has done on the cross for us. We're told in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus, when he had returned from his 40 days in the desert, when he was tempted, and before, as he sets out on his earthly ministry, he read out a part of Isaiah 61 and claimed that those words were fulfilled in his reading, which says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It is God who plants, that he may be glorified." Amen. What beautiful word. There are no strongholds which will be able to stand against the good news of Jesus. The brokenhearted will be healed. Sin and death will no longer hold us as prisoners. Those who grieve will be comforted. And instead of shame and guilt, will be clothed with gladness and of praise. Hallelujah. To stand firm, planted by God in righteousness. For the gospel brings life to everyone. Amen. Everyone. Yes. For whose glory? Not for Mount Pleasant, not for me, but glory of the Father God. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Church, let's accept. Let's embrace and apply the good news of Jesus in our lives every day. Yes. Every day, I need to remind myself of what he has done on the cross for me. I need to let that wash over me. And in the love, returning back to the first love over and over and over, I can't help but to share that. And I want you guys to be in the same boat. May the infilling of his Spirit overflow as we live out the gospel truth of Jesus in our lives. So here's the last question. Are there strongholds in your life which is hindering you from a deeper relationship with God? Jesus has paid the price. He took on our garment of sin and shame and death. And now in his resurrection, he has clothed us with his righteousness, his glory, and with his everlasting life. Strongholds are shattered, it's no more. And as we hear the word proclaimed, and as the resurrection power of the Spirit of God is activated in and through us into the world, then there will be great joy. There will be great joy. There'll be great celebration. Not because we'll be free from temptations and pains and troubles of this world, but as we encounter them, what are we doing? We turn and fix our gaze upon Jesus, on our unstoppable risen Lord. And be reminded in that moment, as we face opposition, as we face persecution, that our debt has been paid in full, our sin forgiven through grace. And may the gospel truth of old bring us great joy. Bring us great joy. So, church, let me pray. I want to invite the worship team up. And let me pray. I want to encourage you. If God's spoken to you, don't leave this place without speaking to someone about it. Pray with someone or pray for someone. We all have someone on our hearts that we are praying dearly for them to come to Christ, to know the love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pray. And if you want prayer, please come. Church, let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, first and foremost, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us as when we have hindered the spread of the gospel, knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we have turned our backs on you and have tried to do things our own way in our own lives and even here at church. Lord, we pray for an infilling of your Spirit, a fresh infilling of your Spirit. And as we are filled with your Spirit, help us to see where you are at work, where you are leading us to. And help us so that our thoughts and our minds won't hinder your work, but it will absolutely support and promote the spread of the gospel. Lord, we pray that you will break through the strongholds which hinder us from a deeper relationship with you and help us to turn away from the well and turn to you and in through your Spirit, Lord. May your kingdom come and may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.